Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, welcome back to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, thanking you for joining us for today's important broadcast. On yesterday's Family Talk program, Michelle Bachman and Gary Bauer were discussing the current state of Israel amidst the latest attack back on April the 13th. As we stand together and our hearts ache for the people of Israel, we can call on the Lord to bring peace to this region and to end the suffering going on over there. As Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, on today's program, we'll explore how we can support Israel in such a time as this and what we may expect in the near future. So now, let's join Michelle Bachman and our Senior Vice President of Public Policy, Gary Bauer, right now on Family Talk.
Michelle, welcome back to the program. We had a great conversation yesterday about some really serious issues involving Israel and the United States. We got a lot more to talk about, so let's get right to it.
Yes.
You know, Michelle, this is such an important moment for American Christians. It's not only that American presidents of both parties have been pro-Israel, but in the studies of public opinion in America, the American people have been predictably pro-Israel decade after decade after decade. And I think at least in part that's been because we were by and large a Christian nation.
That's right. And we knew our Bible. The more we know our Bible, the more we get our foreign policy right. And so, Gary, you're so right about that, that as the nation understands the Word of God and we obey the Word of God, then our nation is under the protective hand of a holy God, and things go well with us. That is the highest thing that we can aspire to as a nation, is a quiet and peaceable life. But we have chaos and judgment when we turn away from the ways of God. And in this case, this is one example. Are we blessing Israel or are we cursing Israel? And it's tragic that the United States is in a position of cursing, because the American people, Gary, still by a majority vote today are pro-Israel. We are pro-Israel. And even the United States Congress, we are pro-Israel. That's both Democrat and Republican. The sad thing is the Democrat Party as a party is choosing to be pro-team Iran. That is not true historically for the Democrat Party. So this is a bizarre position that they're choosing. The Republican Party, not always, but generally speaking, has been pro-Israel. So as we move into this fall election, it's very important that the listeners look at the platform of each of the two political parties and take a look which platform appears to be more in line with the Bible and what the Bible indicates will bring blessing to a people and blessing to a nation. And if we want to live quiet, peaceable lives, then we need to find candidates and vote for candidates who are going to bring about those policies here in the United States, not just for our sake, Gary, but for the generations that are coming after us.
You know, Michelle, I think if I remember correctly, that you and I were both at the White House under President Trump when there was a little celebration over the fact that, unlike all the previous presidents, President Trump, who, like them, did promise he would move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, but all those other presidents, when they got in, they were convinced by the State Department and the Defense Department that it would be too risky and there could be problems. And Donald Trump, you know, took those phone calls and he said, "Sorry, I made a promise. I'm going to move the embassy." We did move the embassy. There wasn't any war broken out about it. It was actually seen as a sign of strength. And then following the moving of the embassy, the Trump administration was able to negotiate a series of treaties between Israel and some of their Arab Muslim neighbors, which came to be known as the Abrahamic Accords. You know, maybe I knew this and had forgotten it, but I was reminded the other day that when President Biden came into office, he ordered the entire White House staff to not use that term to refer to those treaties. I mean, you talk about, you know, somebody that's been really off the rails about this issue. I mean, I think if he could get away with it, he would take the U.S. Embassy back out of Jerusalem and put it back in Tel Aviv or whatever. But this is a key moment. And I wonder if you agree with this, Michelle. While the public is still pro-Israel, there is some erosion. And it generally is related to how long you've been in a university. And we know that America's universities are riddled with anti-Semitism, the faculties and a lot of the influences there. But in addition to that, we are allowing a whole lot of people to come into America from countries that are overwhelmingly anti-Semitic, and we don't even bother to ask them whether they are bringing with them ancient hatred for Israel. And it seems to me that on both of those issues, we need to make sure that our borders are secure and that even legal immigration, we don't allow haters into America. And second of all, and I know you care deeply about American education, we need to have educational reform or we're going to end up with an America that doesn't believe in any of the things that has sustained our country for decades and decades.
Well, ditto to everything you just said. I am the dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University, and we have undergrad, master's, and PhD programs all based on biblical worldview. We want to see people with a biblical worldview take places in our government and be credentialed and qualified and more than competent and excel and take these viewpoints into our government, because there's been a blackballing and a canceling of allowing people into important positions of policy making, influence, and authority in the Pentagon, in the State Department, where a lot of these foreign policy decisions are made, in our military academies, and all the various agencies of the United States government. My goal is to graduate 100 PhDs and get them into the government. Wow. We want to have a pro-Israel perspective. And today, if a candidate in a regular university is saying that they want to go into a PhD program and they're pro-Israel, they're probably not even going to get accepted into that university. Yes. And a lot of universities will not hire anyone with a pro-Israel perspective. But Regent University, Pat Robertson started, he was with the 700 Club, he started Regent. And this has always been a pro-Israel campus. And so now we are doubling down. And we are creating as many people as possible, training them to understand the background and the reality of Israel. Because, Gary, as you know, a big part of the problem has been the propaganda about Israel.
Yes.
Because here you have 30 years of Hamas Arab terrorists, the Arab-Palestinian terrorists, 30 years of them firing rockets, stabbing, shooting, creating mayhem on the ground for innocent Jews in Israel. And yet they cry that they're the victims. Within 24 hours of the genocide in Israel on October 7th, you had people standing at the gates of the White House in Arab-Palestinian costumes,
yes,
claiming that they were the victims. They just murdered, and they were continuing to murder, over 1,200 Jews. And they were claiming they were the victims. And so people don't know what to believe because the mainstream media reports the propaganda. They report the lies. And so that's why we want to have a fact-based, reality-based, biblical-based program so we can train people up so that we can get better policies in the United States. How do you get good policies in the United States when you have people in positions of authority who don't know the truth, who are maybe not even taught the truth? But like you said, Gary, America was founded primarily by people who did believe in the God of the Bible and who, in fact, read the Bible, who understood the Bible. And we haven't all been Christians. We haven't all believed the Bible. We haven't all been faithful Jewish believers. But today it is different. it seems that churches aren't teaching what the Bible says about a lot of these matters. And I want to encourage every pastor that's listening today, if you just preach the Bible and what the Bible says about these issues, you're not being political. You're being biblical. And I want to encourage you to do that. As a matter of fact, Gary, on May 19th, that is the day that is being called for pastors all over America to have a service talking about Israel, honoring Israel, and speaking to the congregations, to their people, teach their people what the Bible says about Israel. This would be one of the greatest services that pastors could do on May 19th to teach about what the Bible says about Israel to your congregation. It will bring a blessing to your church, I have no doubt.
And what a timely event. That is an important date, and you're absolutely right. It's not surprising there's confusion among the unchurched about all of this, but to see the confusion about Israel and about Israel's role in God's plan inside the church, confusion about that, that's even more disturbing. One of the things that is happening on universities around the country and on the political left generally is this narrative that the Israelis are colonizers, they're settlers. You know, they've taken somebody else's land. Well, Jews were living in the Holy Land when Washington, D.C. and London were still swamps.
Some things never change, Gary.
Well, that's exactly right. There's still swamps today. But, you know, if Jews were not in the Holy Land, then the whole Bible is a lie. So the effort to erase Jews from the Holy Land and describe them as settlers and interlopers and colonizers, if that effort ever succeeded, it would erase the entire narrative of the Bible that we know to be true. It would erase Christ's whole ministry. Every week, there are new discoveries in the land of Israel today that prove the events of the Bible.
That's right.
And prove the presence of the Jewish people in Judea and Samaria, what our media calls, the West Bank. It's Judea and Samaria.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's the absolute history of 3,000 years of Jewish presence in the land. King David, as you recall, paid for the city of Jerusalem. He paid when he bought it. So there was no stolen land. It was paid for. The only nation that has ever had as its capital Jerusalem is the Jewish people. So that is a fact of history. It's incontrovertible. But also just from a political perspective, the international community after World War I, Israel belonged to the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire collapsed in World War I. The victorious Allied nation, the nations that won World War I, gathered in a beautiful city in Italy called San Remo. And at San Remo, they decided, what should we do? How should we divide up this Ottoman territory? And so they did. And they created the two-state solution. They created Arab land, and they created a land for the Jewish people. You have the nations who are the victors writing on a sheet of paper that Israel will have a homeland legally. And so they wrote it down on paper, the land that would belong to the Arabs. And they chose Genesis 15:18, the biblical contours of the land that God himself ordained. They declared in a political document that is legal today that Israel would have a right to that land. That was then adopted by the League of Nations. Then from the League of Nations, that document was adopted into the UN Charter. So in the UN Charter today, even though people in the UN don't want to acknowledge it or agree with it, Israel has the legal right. They are the only nation to the legal right to the land. No one else has it. So it is more than propaganda. It is a flat-out lie to say that the Jewish people have no legitimate political right to the land. They have that, and they have so much more. God gave the Jews the deed to Israel. Enough said.
Yes. And little did those UN bureaucrats realize that while they were doing that, they were actually fulfilling biblical prophecy.
That's right.
It's not only that in Genesis, as you correctly point out, that the contours of the modern nation of Israel were being laid out by God himself.
Yes.
But later in the prophetic gospels, it is predicted that the Israeli people, the Jewish people, will have suffering. They will be scattered. They will be in exile at times, but they will be brought back to the land that God deeded to them. And when they are brought back, they will turn the desert that is there into an oasis.
Yes.
They will be the wonder of the world. And we look today at the modern nation of Israel, and that is exactly what they have
done. Exactly. And so for many of our listeners, Gary, in 1948, when Israel declared independence, that was the fulfillment of the scripture. And you see it all over scripture through the Old Testament, that God himself would ingather the scattered Jews. This has never happened before in history for any nation. And he would bring the exact same people back to the exact same land, speaking the exact same language, serving the exact same God, using the exact same money. It's one of the greatest miracles of the Bible. And we saw prophecy fulfilled in 1948. Many of our listeners were alive then. But Gary, we also saw prophecy fulfilled. Ezekiel prophesied that the Jews would retake the Jerusalem. And that happened in 1967 in the Six-Day War. So we are living in the time that the prophets long to see. They prophesied these days. And Gary, we get to live in these days and see prophecy fulfilled. And what we're seeing happening with Iran and with Russia and with Turkey and with other nations surrounding Israel, these events, the prophets had something to say about. There couldn't be anything more relevant to the pulpit these days than to have a pastor preach on what is happening in our world today, but according to the Bible. So that's why, again, I encourage every listener, whether you are part of a church or whether you're a pastor, would you please consider preaching? If you can't preach on May 19th, when many pastors are planning to preach on Israel, would you choose a day and preach what the Bible says about Israel and what our response needs to be about Israel? We need to bring knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, I hope that won't be the case with your church. I hope your church preaches the truth of God's word and brings the great inspirational joy to everyone in the congregation as they learn what God has to say about the blessing that everyone can receive by blessing Israel.
Mm, so beautifully said, Michelle. You know, obviously Family Talk has a large Christian audience, and JDFI is a Christian organization, and we've obviously wanted to talk today about all the biblical foundations and basis for why Christians should support Israel and why Christians should always oppose and speak out against the sin of anti-Semitism. But I just want to quickly say, Michelle, that if you're not a Christian and you happen to be listening today, you don't have to share our biblical view to be pro-Israel and want to stand with Israel.
That's right.
You know, I remember after 9/11, that horrible event, and in the days that followed, we didn't know what was going to happen next. And I remember, I think it was the very next day, I turned on the TV, I was watching the evening news, I saw something that made me furious. It was people in Gaza and in some Muslim neighborhoods in Israel, and they were celebrating what happened to us.
That's right.
They were shooting guns in the air. They were handing out candy to their children. But Israel's government and Israel's people, they mourned with us.
Right.
They lowered their flag. They cried with us. They've always been one of our reliable allies. So there is just ironclad Christian case for Israel. But if you just care about America remaining safe and strong and free. We have no better ally on the planet than the nation of Israel.
Israel stands for life. And who says that is Iran. Iran said that we love death more than you love life. Their religion, their faith, by their words, not mine, not Gary's, by their words, they stand for death. They believe that that's where the glory lies. Israel stands for life. And God gave the law to the Jews to share with the world and his glory to share with the world. Israel is a template. They're God's chosen people, but that's because they're the template. It doesn't mean that God hates Muslims. He doesn't at all. God died for Muslims, for Buddhists, for atheists, for everyone. He died for everyone because he loves everyone. He said, I wish that all men, all women would be saved and come to the knowledge of the Lord. And that's our prayer today as we are here. We are here about life. We are here about the Word of God and the love of God. And God uses the template of Israel. And all through the Bible, the temple service and everything that was done was meant to point to the Father, the one who loves us, who loved us so much that he gave his own life, that we could be reunited with him. And everyone can know more about the Lord. They can contact JDFI to know more about coming to the Lord. Or today, if you've made a decision that you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, you can contact JDFI. We want to give you more information because that's why we're here. That part of Dr. Dobson and Shirley Dobson's life is about spreading the good news that every single person can find their way to holy God. Every person can be forgiven of their sin. And so that's why this ministry is here, to build up the family and to bring people to the power that changes lives. And that's the God of the Bible.
Absolutely. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being part of this conversation today. I can't think of anybody else that has the same passion and knowledge about the history of Israel and the understanding that Israel and the United States are the two pillars of Judeo-Christian civilization. I'd like to impose on you as we wrap this up, would you close us with a prayer for the peace of Jerusalem?
I'd be honored. Please join me. Oh, Father, we come to you now, O God of Israel. Lord, we cry out to you for deliverance for the people of Israel. They're living under this strain today, Father, of death from rockets nearly every single day. Rockets are fired in. And Father, we know that you are the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps when it comes to Israel. It is your strong right arm that will deliver Israel. And so I pray, O God, for them and for their safety. But I pray for the United States that we would come into alignment with your word and all other nations that are listening today, that their nations would come into alignment with God's word. And I pray for the individuals who are listening today, the mothers, the fathers, the singles who are listening right now, boys and girls, that they too would join in this prayer, that they would be blessed personally by blessing Israel. And I pray for the church and for pastors of churches that by listening to this show today, that they would take upon themselves this joy of teaching their congregation what the Bible says, and thus increasing knowledge and blessing across this world. We ask all of this in the name of the God of Israel. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michelle.
Well, we hope that you have been encouraged by today's program here on Family Talk. This was the conclusion of a very important two-part conversation featuring Michelle Bachman and Gary Bauer and their update on the attacks in Israel. If you'd like to learn more how you can support Israel or to keep them in your prayers, please visit our website at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Remember, you can also share these programs with friends and family who would benefit from hearing them. Our collective voice can bring support and inspire peace. Go to drjamesdobson.org/family talk to share this audio. Now, if you've been blessed by today's edition of Family Talk, I strongly encourage you to become a regular listener to the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast featuring Gary Bauer. As you may know, Gary is the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, and each week he shares a new program on a topic from his unique perspective on current public policy issues, with strong regard for the U.S. Constitution and, of course, an unapologetic biblical worldview. To start streaming, just visit our website at drjamesdobson.org and select the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast right there on our homepage. You will then be directed to the podcast page where you can select your favorite listening platform. Don't miss out on this meaningful podcast from Gary Bauer each and every week. Well, I'm Roger Marsh, and thank you so much for listening to today's broadcast here on Family Talk. I pray that you and your family will enjoy a blessed and peaceful weekend, and be sure to join us again Monday right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.